From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Writer and director Lulu Wong found a fascinating family story for her second film. It was from her own family. The Farewell follows a Chinese family's decision not to tell their beloved matriarch that she's been diagnosed with terminal lung cancer. Their complicity in the secret reveals truths about their relationships to one another. The comedian Awkwafina plays the main character, Billy, who resists their decision to shield her grandmother from the truth. If the story sounds familiar, Lulu did tell it herself in an episode of This American Life. The Farewell kicked off the Atlanta Film Festival, which runs through April 14th, and Lulu Wong is joining me in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. This really happened.
It did, yes.
How and when did you find out that your grandmother was dying?
It was in 2013. I was actually in post-production on my first feature when this happened. And my first film was a screwball romantic comedy. And then this happened in my real life. And I thought, this is a real screwball setup. And I was really sad, but it was also just really ridiculous.
And when did you decide that you wanted to tell it? First, you did it for This American Life.
Yeah, as I was going through it, I think that I started to have this notion of I need to share this with people, even if it's just with friends, because the story and some of the situations I was in felt so insane. I didn't know how to make it as a film, you know, frankly, because I wanted to keep the casting authentic. I wanted to do part of it in Chinese language. But yet I wanted to make it as an American film, as an American story. So I had a hard time getting it set up initially. It wasn't until I did the story with This American Life that I was finally able to find the right producers.
And I remember that because you taped a lot of the conversations, audio of phone calls that you had with your parents or real life situations. And there's this elaborate ruse that your family comes up with, really, telling Nai Nai, your grandmother, that everybody's avoiding telling her that she's expected to live at that time only a couple of months. This is also, of course, the central tension of the film. Mm-hmm. And Billy is set up as the outsider in a way in this conversation. She wants to tell the truth. It's something you dealt with yourself. Here is an excerpt from your story with This American Life when you're talking with your mom about this dilemma.
I'm pretty sure a lot of other Americans would feel the way that I felt, that somebody's going to die. It's their right to know.
Yeah, but we just think that's not your business. You not live with her, and so.
Okay, but do you understand where I was coming from? Do you understand why I was conflicted?
Yeah, I know, but that's China. That's a different world.
So we find out, I think that Nai Nai, if I'm remembering right, she didn't tell her own husband.
Exactly.
That he was dying when he was dying. I'm sorry to laugh, but it is just so insane in a way. So help us understand what sounds like a pretty deep cultural divide about that awareness of death in Chinese and American culture.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how much of it is just so deeply ingrained. There's obviously all of these philosophical reasons to back why they make this decision, but I've come to learn that so many people do it, that it also is just, in a way, an unspoken, like an obvious truth to the culture. And it wasn't in a way until I started questioning why they were doing it that they had to even reflect on why do we do this. And they dug really deep, and, you know, different people in the family told me different things, and it all makes sense from their point of view. But it definitely is just interesting, the assumptions that we make, that we carry over through history, through culture, through rituals and traditions. And sometimes we think about them and sometimes we don't.
And the all of those things just come so clear in the movie, you know, the rituals and traditions. So you set up this idea that everybody's going to come to your cousin's wedding in China. This is their excuse for all coming together to see Nai Nai, basically. But okay, so This American Life, they rigidly fact check, right? Mm-hmm. Because they want to make sure that stories are true. But for you, you were writing your own screenplay. You could tell any kind of story here. Mm-hmm. Was there any part that you thought, I'm going to do this differently than it happened in real life?
You know, making a film is such a different beast than doing a fact-based story. And I think in some ways it's even more challenging because when people know it's journalism, when it's fact-based, it's easy for them to believe that this is true, and immediately they're engaged. But with a movie, people just think of Hollywood, they think of actors, they think of this facade. And so even if you are depicting things that are real, there's a level of skepticism that audiences bring. And then when you do add actors and not real locations like sets and things like that, the danger can be that it contributes to this sense of disbelief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really happening.
I can imagine a pitch here. So there's this family. They're not telling their, you know, it almost sounds like, I don't know, an old sitcom or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And yeah. How do you make it still feel really grounded and feel believable? I mean, we open the film with a line that says that it's based on an actual lie. But people who have seen the film, even having seen that line, by the time they get to the end, still don't, they forget that this is a real story. And so it was definitely challenging to, you know, figure out what are the moments and the pieces that I wanted to stay true to in a factual way, and what are the ways that I could depict the truth even better by not sticking to facts.
One of the truths is that your relationship with your grandmother is really close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you set up that bond with Billy and Nai Nai right from the get-go. They have these long phone conversations. How do you put that kind of dynamic into a script?
Well, you know, I think that I put a lot of consideration into that, because I do think that it's important for people to know that two people can have this kind of a bond, even if they're not seeing each other all the time, even if they're of two different generations. And I think the sort of banter between the two people was really important to me, and keeping the authenticity of that dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
To capture this relationship that isn't always perfect. It isn't what you think about a grandma who just bakes you cookies and all of that.
She's really open with you.
Yes.
She's really direct with you.
She's open with everyone, you know. That's the kind of, she's a person that she is. So, and there's a lot of humor in that, because you realize, oh, she's not just somebody's grandmother, somebody's mother, but she's a woman, and she at one time was a young woman and had loves of her own and dreams of her own and disappointments of her own. So I wanted to make sure that was captured.
How did you help develop that bond between Awkwafina, who plays the character Billy, which is essentially you, and Shuzhen Zhao, who plays Nai Nai in the film?
The bond between Awkwafina and Zhao was immediate, because Awkwafina was raised by her Chinese grandmother, and Zhao has grandchildren of her own. And so it's so easy to just bring that level of love and project it into this other person who you know is somebody else's granddaughter and somebody else's grandmother. And in many ways, Billy is everybody's granddaughter and Zhao is everybody's grandmother. And when I was casting, that's what I was looking for, was both the specificity of somebody who could play my grandmother, you know, who has very specific traits, but was also someone who felt universal to everybody and how they see their grandmother.
That is Lulu Wang. She's writer and director of The Farewell. It's one of the films featured, in fact, opened the Atlanta Film Festival, and the festival is running through April 14th. And Awkwafina, as she mentioned, is starring in the film. She is best known as a comedian, so why put her in this pretty dramatic role?
Well, she sent in a self-tape. She said, you know, I really want to do this role, and I know that my resume doesn't say that I'm the most obvious person, but when she sent in that self-tape, I knew immediately that she was the one. There was just no facade there. She felt like the character.
Well, The Farewell also deals with complicated feelings of leaving home, mm-hmm. and then returning to home. That isn't quite the same for Billy, the character, and for her parents, certainly, and her uncles and extended family. How does Billy handle going back to China after being in the U.S. for so long?
Yeah, I think Billy has a hard time. And I relate to this, of course, but I think many people who are immigrants, regardless of what age they came over to the U.S. at, there's a sense that you know, you're missing something. But then you go back and you also realize, wait, actually, I don't fit in here anymore.
Mm.
And so that's what she learns quickly, is that even though the love is there and the bond is there, she starts to see how different she is, not you know, we see fish out of water stories all the time, and that's often represented by how people appear physically. If you're blonde and blue-eyed in an Asian country, it's quite obvious you're a fish out of water. But what does it feel like when you actually look like everyone and everyone expects you to be like them and you're not? And all of the expectations that also go along with it, you know, because the main reason her parents immigrated is to give her a better life. And if you are at a stage of your life where you're questioning whether or not you are successful and you're doing all the things that you should be doing, or you feel that you're somehow a disappointment, she's bringing all of that baggage as well back to China, where she wants her grandma to be proud of her and to feel that the sacrifice of her leaving and them not spending their lives together was worthwhile.
Yeah.
And the truth is she doesn't know that that's true.
Yeah, that I think is one of the great hanging things in the film. And you know, the uncles and parents, they feel guilty mm-hmm. about having left China for Japan, in this case in the United States. But also really grapples with a lot of emotional responses to grief and how personalities and cultural expectations play into grieving. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a question here of, like, is there a right way to grieve? Because everybody's got their own way. Mm-hmm. And is that what we're getting at, that there is no right way?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of that is cultural. I think that culture and gender and, you know, all apply to how you grieve or how you feel you're expected to grieve versus your own personality. And certainly, I think that if there's an expectation that you have to grieve in a very public way, but you tend to be very private, or certain cultures expect stoicism, whereas other cultures expect the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Rending the garments. In fact, I think I remember from the This American Life story that people get hired to be mourners at mm-hmm, funerals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's in the movie as well, a little bit of that. But yeah, and so I think that trying to balance the expectation from your family of how you should be grieving, when also you're not supposed to be grieving because this is a secret, and then wanting to grieve and not being allowed to grieve. And so, yeah, all of those tricky things are what is the underlying tension for Billy.
Well, I think that's what makes it sort of, you know, comic and tragic in many different places, often in the same scene, mm-hmm. quite honestly. Like at the end of the wedding, I'm not going to give any of this away, but how did you find that balance, that tone of the comic and the tragic?
You know, I never direct my actors towards the comedy. I always feel that, like, what's most important is my actors are what grounds the scene, the performances. And so I direct them towards what's real. And for example, there's a very emotional scene with a cousin, and he actually got very, very drunk in real life. He's like, in order to do the scene, I'm going to go drink. I was like, all right, great, go for it. And then he came to me and he's like, director, are we ready to shoot yet? Because I'm ready. I'm ready. I was like, just hold it. We're not ready yet. We're not ready. So for him, it was very real. He also is very close with his grandmother, that actor. And so that's great. You know, I have the truthful emotion from the actor, but I love to create a situation where the situational comedy shows you the absurdity, mm-hmm. While at the same time you're still maintaining empathy for the character that's in the scene.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that. It's almost like you said you didn't direct him toward the comedy, but it's just inherently funny.
Yeah.
In some kind of way. So this is your second feature. Why did this story feel like the next right one to tell?
Yeah, like I was saying before, my first movie was a
Posthumous was the name.
Yes, mm-hmm. Posthumous was a screwball romantic comedy, and this story is also a screwball of sorts, and I wanted to see if I could capture what I love about screwballs, but in a way that was also authentic to life and wasn't necessarily boxed in by a specific genre, but just to see how there are screwball situations everywhere in our lives, and be able to balance sort of the joy and the pathos, because I think that in life, joy and grief are so closely knit, and that was the territory that I wanted to explore.
The film did premiere at Sundance this year. A lot of praise for Awkwafina's performance as Billy. And people found a connection to the story in very profound ways. Here is Awkwafina. This is during the Sundance Film Festival, sharing some of the responses she heard from the film.
There were a couple people that came up to me also with tears in their eyes hours after the movie, saying, like, we just did this to my grandpa. I just came back from China. I just buried my grandma. And these people, like, they can't hold in their emotions, and it resonates with them in such a strong, like, deep way. You know, movies like this need to exist. And it's like, no matter what, how broad the story goes, I mean, it resonates for sure.
How's your family responded? I mean, they are the basis for this.
I think they're just really proud that that I made it, and also that people are responding to it. Because I remember when I was working on the film and the script, and at one point I had my dad read it, and he's like, "Yeah, this is what happened. But is this interesting? Well, you think, why would anyone give you money to make this? You know?" And it was so moving, because to him it's just every day, and he's a common, you know, person, and he doesn't feel like he's worthy of the screen, of the big screen, you know. And my great aunt, who plays herself in the movie, felt that same way when I wanted to cast her. And she kept saying, but what if my face ruins your movie? And I have a fat face, and, you know, kind of the self-deprecating humor. And I wanted to show her that she is worthy of a big screen, and she is a movie star in her own right. And so that's really exciting that something so simple as one family story can resonate, because this family is all of our families, and their grief is all of our grief.
Well, Lulu Wang, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Lulu Wang's film The Farewell opens in theaters in July. She also got a great distribution deal from the sounds of it at Sundance. You can see her film and others at the Atlanta Film Festival. It's running through April 14th. There's more information, including a trailer for The Farewell, at gpbnews.org. Well, that is our show for today. On Second Thought is produced by Elena Rivera, Leighton Rowell, LaRaven Taylor, and Amelia Brock. We always love to hear from you. We're on Facebook and we're on Twitter at OST Talk, or you can email us at onsecondthought@gpb.org. I'm Virginia Prescott. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. This is On Second Thought.